Decades, centuries. I think there can be resistance to oppression, and when resistance occurs, you can't circumscribe resistance. You can't schedule a plan resistance. You can't tell people where to die in, where to resist, and how to protest. I do think that there should be an ethics attached to this, but we have to watch our own ethics and be careful not to get more upset about the destruction of property than the destruction of black bodies. And that seems to me, to be what's happening over the last few hours, and that's very troublesome to me.
It's a revolt, and clueless white people in the media just don't get it. Case in point, MSNBC's Thomas Roberts. In a live report from the streets of Baltimore yesterday, Roberts approached a protester and asked that protester whether rioting was really the right way to get justice for Freddie Gray. Her response was perfect. Check it out.
My question to you is, when we were out here protesting all last week for 6 days straight peacefully, there were no news cameras, there were no helicopters, there was no riot gear, and nobody heard us. So now that we burned down buildings and set businesses on fire and looted buildings, now all of a sudden everybody wants to hear us. Why does it take a catastrophe like this in order for America to hear our cry?
We also, I think, have to be very careful about the language that we use to talk about this. I'm not calling these people rioters. I'm calling these uprisings. And I think it's an important distinction to make. This is not a riot. There have been uprisings in major cities and smaller cities around this country for the last year
Come in, do the right thing. Get up, never party. Get up. Get up. Come in, do the right thing. Get up.
Fumbling through the ether, take a ride in Aquila. Cost you 30 liras, push your dealer, hits the meter. A shrewd operator in the shadow of a beacon. Have a dirty weekend, interesting proposition. Insinuate and listen. What a way to make a living. Scissors to the ribbon, throw my hands like a reverend. Triple sixes, double sevens. When I get down to this, cut catalyst. Cut. For a revolution.
uprisings, and I think it's an important distinction to make. This is not a riot. There have been uprisings in major cities and smaller cities around this country for the last year because of the state violence that's been waged against black female and male bodies forever. And I think that's what's important here. I'm not saying that we should see the destruction of black communities as positive. I'm saying that we can't have such a too narrow a conception of what the destruction of black communities mean. And it's
1500 red cases, a multitude of faces, the body in the basement, double on the bunk bed, you better watch the babies, careful with your manners, only drinking water on the Coca-Cola Cabana, well-built family, subject to the battery, mental men are manic in their manacles, I meant to make a metaphor for radicals, taking off my clothes at the Lido, all I got is my decadent credo.
To a gang and get sold to a pack of losers down to Napalusha. I heard you got guns, well I got fun. I got something sweet, what you call sin. So you lose, I win.
The number of 111 is correct, and then figure out why they weren't released and see if they need to have further advocacy for their rights.
I was taking a picture up Pratt Street in order to send to my friend in Denver who used to live here, and just to show how like empty the streets were on Pratt Street at the, it was around like what, 10:30, 11 o'clock at night on Monday, and next thing you know a group of officers surrounded me and they took my cell phones, which I still have not been returned to me. My work phone and my personal phone have not been returned. In addition to that, my Wi-Fi hotspots that I also use for work. I have a personal business. So a great deal. I was worried that they weren't going to give me my wallet back. They had to go through and search yet again and again in order to find my wallet and my house and car keys. It's been quite a trying time.
But there shouldn't be calm tonight. Black people are dying in the streets. We've been dying in the streets for months, years, decades, centuries.
Enough is enough. We had too many lives lost at the hands of police officers.
And like I got to see on the news Monday night that the car that I was hoping to keep safe by not driving it down here was on flames. They showed the clip 5 times.
Enough is enough.
Enough is enough is right. And if white people like Thomas Roberts stepped outside their narrow little world of privilege once in a while, and I suspect Thomas Roberts actually does, and actually learned what it's like to be black in Baltimore, they'd agree. Don't believe me? Just check out the statistics that Bill Quigley has put together over at Alternet. 148,000 people, about 24% of Baltimore's total population, live in poverty. The unemployment rate in the black community is double the unemployment rate in the white community.
thugs run amok in the streets of Baltimore.
But enough about the police department.
I would say that the coverage that we're seeing on Fox and CNN that's becoming very divisive. There's actually the use of the word nigger was actually used on CNN. In America, that is considered quite outrageous. I think this is giving us a glimpse of the reality of the American nation, and that's a reality that I think many people who are living internationally don't really see, because their representatives of America are politicians or the mainstream media on a normal day.
Tonightly, violent thugs run amok in the streets of Baltimore. But enough about the police department.
People who live in Baltimore's wealthiest neighborhoods live 20 years longer than people who live in Baltimore's poorest neighborhoods. White babies born in Baltimore live on average 6 years longer than black babies, and black babies are nine times, 900% more likely to die before their first birthday than white babies. Black Baltimore residents, meanwhile, are 8 times more likely to die from HIV/AIDS and 2 times more likely to die from diabetes than are white people who have HIV/AIDS or diabetes. And as if all that wasn't bad enough, black Baltimore residents are 560% more likely to be arrested for marijuana possession than white Baltimore residents, despite the fact that they smoke pot, blacks and whites, at about the same rate. In fact, and this is really amazing, 92% of all marijuana-related arrests in Baltimore were African Americans, which gives Charm City the dubious honor of having the highest marijuana arrest racial disparity in the entire United States.
I think there can be resistance to a... No, I mean, there shouldn't be calm tonight. Black people are dying in the streets. We've been dying in the streets for months, years, decades, centuries. I think there can be resistance to oppression, and when resistance occurs, you can't circumscribe resistance. You can't schedule a planned resistance. You can't tell people where to die in, where to resist, and how to protest. We'll be right back. Now, I do think that there should be an ethics attached to this, but we have to watch our own ethics and be careful not to get more upset about the destruction of property than the destruction of black bodies. And that seems to me to be what's happening over the last few hours, and that's very troublesome to me. We also, I think, have to be very careful about the language that we use to talk about this. I'm not calling these people rioters. I'm calling these uprisings, and I think it's an important distinction to make. This is not a riot. There have been uprisings in major cities.
They showed it for 5 times in a row. My Infiniti is now scrapped.
Of this state violence
against all things considered, I'm very happy that I was able to talk to some public defenders earlier today, and they got me released.
I'm saying that we can't have such a too narrow a perception of what the destruction of black communities mean, and it seems to me that we exhaust all of our moral outrage tonight and not the 364 days before tonight.
Everybody, this is Dr. Furious, Furious George Show, WCOMLP Chapel Carborough, 103.5 LPFM, micro-powered based radio. And as part of the Furious George Show, I should probably let you know that some parts may be offensive to some members. And also, just in case you're out there listening, you probably picked up that yet another week, yet another innocent man killed, shot down, broke neck, whatever. So anyway, there's some protests that we're going to spotlight and how terribly poorly the media is trying to cover it, as well as some other fun stuff, including some crazy underground hip-hop beats. We got some new Lapalux, of course, played the new Young Fathers. I got some other cool new stuff to share. But also want to mention, we've got some tickets to a benefit concert that I'm going to be giving away here relatively soon. To a benefit down there this Sunday at the Pickard's Mountain, actually down at the Piedmont Biofuel site, and the Abundance Foundation is going to kick in some tickets for that. So yours truly, Furious G, is going, and I think we're going to bring some friends along, and you could go too. So stick around and listen. In fact, when you hear the first, interestingly, relevant Bob Marley song for the evening, be the first caller at 919-929-9601, and we will give you those tickets. What else we got here? I don't know. We're going to spotlight some new music and get into the cool things. Bernie Sanders has declared his candidacy, so we'll talk about what he thinks about the junk down in Baltimore. And some other fun stuff coming up. So if you like what you're hearing, check out furiousg.blogspot.com for some of the old shows. And you get linked over to the A Infos Radio Project, a huge cool collective of micro-powered radio folks. And you can also check out WCOMFM.org, including helping us out with our benefit concert coming up here next week, next Thursday. So make sure if you're in town, come and kick in some cash. Thanks for listening to micro-powered radio. I'm Furious!
In a moment, but I want to get your thoughts on Baltimore. First, we've been watching this very closely. If you were president of the United States, what would you do about this? It's a crisis, not just in Baltimore, but in a lot of other communities around the country.
You know, it's primarily a local and state issue, but the president has the bully pulpit, and the president has the eyes of the nation. Look, the issue here is I was a mayor for 8 years. Being a cop is a very, very difficult job. But the word has got to get out that when police act inappropriately, and of course in this case there has to be a thorough investigation, but for too many years, too many mostly black suspects have been treated terribly, in some cases murdered. That is unacceptable. And police officers have got to be held accountable for their actions. Second of all, in the neighborhood where this gentleman lives, as I understand it, the unemployment rate is over 50%. Over 50%. What we have got to do as a nation is understand that we have got to create millions of jobs to put people back to work, to make sure that kids are in schools and not in jails. So short term, we got to make sure that police officers have cameras. We got to make sure that we have real police reform so that suspects are treated with respect. Long term, we got to make sure that our young people are working, they're in school, they're not hanging out on street corners.
So as president, though, what do you do? I mean, how do you fix those problems? We've been hearing about those problems, as you and I know, for decades.
I've, along with John Conyers of Michigan, I've introduced legislation which would create a million jobs for young people in this country in some of the hardest pressed areas of America. Real unemployment is a serious problem in this country. We've got to put our people back to work. I think the federal government has got to work with state and local governments to make sure that we move toward in Burlington, Vermont, when I was the mayor, we called community policing, where police are perceived as part of the community, the good guys, rather than as interlopers, people who are from the outside coming.
Only Sears.
You've got the police investigation, you've got the Department of Justice investigating. And it also just leads to the whole issue of when there is an incident with police where someone is injured, why doesn't it immediately go to an outside body, an outside investigator, to look at what's going on inside? Right now we're waiting for the police report on themselves.
Right, and of course those reports are filled out immediately. So that there are reports, it's just that they're not being released to the public. And certainly when the public has such intense interest, it behooves the authorities to get that information out as quickly as possible.
Well, we're joined right now by Tom Hayden, one of the lead officers in this country. had been arrested just here in New York. You and Juan were in a conversation about your book at Barnes & Noble. And there were hundreds of people outside protesting the death of Freddie Gray, but overall police action. You know police action. Go back to Chicago.
Well, I'm sick of what I've seen. It goes back so far, and there is a racial divide in terms of the filters through which we see things. There's no question about that. Whites and blacks see things differently. But there's at least a third or more whites who understand, including myself, the black perspective on this.
And certainly, and for instance, the protests have been multiracial all over the country, including Baltimore.
Sure. I was going to say the thing that stands out here, my reaction that stands out, is there's a subtext. Nobody will say lynching, but when you have a black man whose neck has been broken, they speak of the larynx or the upper neck, but he had his neck broken, and it's so outrageous and disturbing that people don't understand that that's what they're talking about when a police spokesman asserts on national television that Freddie Gray choked himself to death, lynched himself, did it to himself, according to somebody who didn't see it in the next cell over in this wagon.
Or refer to the protesters as a lynch mob.
That was in the
attorney
in the
for the Fraternal
rhetoric,
Order of Police.
And I was in Newark as a community organizer in 1967, and this can go back to the 40s or the 20s. But in 1967, it was alleged that there was a sniper. They never found the sniper. 26 people died. Two were white, firefighter, I think due to ricochet and friendly fire.
And it only gets better from here. Let's get right to the top story. The lawless, destructive riots shaking our nation. No, those are Kentucky fans. I'm sorry, after losing. That's Michigan State fans after winning. That's a pumpkin festival gone awry. Come on, those are just kids blowing off steam with good-natured arson.
Taking on the G. know what? That's probably even the one time kids don't even want to hear the announcement. School's in class. Honey, no school. You have a riot day. Just stay in your PJs and watch your favorite cartoons.
Ford F-150. I like it. Yeah, I'm redneck. Always have been. But his rednecks were formed. Many years I was a racist. I didn't like blacks. I used to call me N-word and whatnot. And now I come a point realize there's some personal experiences. White people are racist. Not all of them. White culture is.
I'm not sure what's going on. This West Side Highway.
Our white country is. Our nation is. Our American culture is full of white supremacy. And we live in the white supremacist culture that caters to white people. Everything from the media to education to art to culture to politics is whitewashed. What is not whitewashed? As far as the status quo, as far as the dominant culture, everything's whitewashed. This country was built for white people. And it's time us Americans, us white Americans, came to terms with that and realized we're benefiting from that. We created slavery. We created a culture and a system of white supremacy that has benefited us for 400 years.
NBC. What's your name?
Danielle.
Danielle, do you live here in Baltimore City?
Yeah.
So why did you want to be out here right now?
I just came out here to represent my city and just to let everyone know that, you know, Baltimore isn't this bad place. We really do come together when we need to. And this is the time that we really need to come together and show support for our city, for the family of Freddie Gray, and to let America know that we do want justice.
When you say that you want justice, what type of message do you think it sends to the world when we're waiting on that justice and due process from the police investigation that we see residents last night looting and rioting in the city? Does that represent the population of the city?
No, it doesn't. But my question to you is, when we were out here protesting all last week for 6 days straight peacefully, there were no news cameras, there were no helicopters, there was no riot gear, and nobody heard us. So now that we burned down buildings, And set businesses on fire and looted buildings, now all of a sudden everybody wants to hear us. Why does it take a catastrophe like this in order for America to hear our cry? Enough is enough. We had too many lives lost at the hands of police officers. Enough is enough.
We're waiting right now for a press conference from the mayor of Baltimore, Stephanie Rawlings Blake, and also the police commissioner. As a resident of the city, what's been your impression of how they've handled this case since they had to announce that Freddie Gray died a week after being taken into custody?
I think they could have done a much better job of handling it. I think they've had plenty of cities around America who have served as examples of what not to do. And I think that Baltimore is a lot better than that. The people of Baltimore want transparency. We still don't have answers as to what happened in the van. And, you know, even after all this, we still don't have the answers that we need. So, what more is it going to take?
Let's go right now to that press conference with the mayor, Stephanie Rawlings Blake, and the police commissioner. They're about to speak.
Pinnacle Vodka presents
too, or first of all, what is the origins of the situation, as you pointed out, and then secondly, why are people so eager and so quick to get to this conversation about morality, this conversation about ethics, which all, as we know, all that's doing is obscuring the real issues at play. And the other thing I just want to add really briefly is, you know, I know people who, and I'm sure I've done it myself, might, you know, get livid if they feel like someone at an airport ticket counter has been disrespectful to them, or they have to wait too long for, you know, customer service on the phone. And to sort of sit and in passive judgment of people who are regularly on the receiving end of surveillance and harassment and all sorts of other things, again, it doesn't justify, but it certainly contextualizes. And it's really just the wrong conversation to have.
I'm sure there's a diversity of coverage, but if we were to speak in generalities, I would say that Biden, different racial communities don't have the same values. And I think in these scandals, like the Freddie Gray shooting. We get to see the real face of America's divisions. We're always going to be focused on a new scandal. There's one, a new one about every 3 weeks or so. So I don't think the mainstream media was ignoring it by any stretch. They've been obsessed with these kind of scandals. And they've been, in fact, ignored bigger issues. I think what it is that it's starting to get out of hand, it's starting to get threatening, and it's starting to become interesting.
Confront this issue because I'm not sure the political will is there.
Tom, I wanted to ask you this issue of the rioting that occurs in the aftermath of a police confrontation. This is almost endemic in American history. You go back, you were mentioning Newark in 1967, Chicago in 1919. The major race riot in Chicago that occurred in 1919 was touched off when a young black youth was swimming in an all-black section along Lake Michigan, and he happened to move over into the white section. He was attacked and drowned. The police come, and instead of arresting his killers, they end up arresting some of the African-Americans who were demanding that the white killers be arrested. That touches off a riot. That dozens of people were killed. Time and again throughout American history, generation after generation, it's a police confrontation in the African-American and Latino community that touches off widespread violence. And yet we don't seem to learn from it or reform it. Or every generation seems doomed to repeat the same problem.
What happened in Ukraine occurring in the United States in the foreseeable future. So I don't think people are going to ultimately gain much by violence.
You think maybe it's about time we stop being lazy as white people and take some fucking responsibility? Thank you.
even the one time kids don't even want to hear the announcement schools are closed. Honey, no school! You have a riot day. Just stay in your PJs and watch your favorite cartoons. Be preempted by footage of our neighborhood in flames. Yes, once again, the combination of an economically struggling inner city and the police force charged with keeping its citizens out of everyone else's view has combusted. Like Watts in Detroit in the 60s, Georgia in the 70s, Miami in the 80s, LA and St. Petersburg in the 90s. These cyclical eruptions appear like tragedy cicadas. Depressing in their similarity, predictability, and intractability. Or to put that another way.
Hard to believe. This is going on in a major American city right now. This is a scene that a lot of us never anticipated seeing in a city like Baltimore. Hard to believe this is going on, as I keep saying, in a major American city. I don't remember seeing anything like this in the United States of America in a long time.
Leading a herd of Orthodox Jewish unicorns through a city street, that would be hard to believe. This happens all the time. Ferguson was just a few months ago, and you were talking about it.
It's hard for me to believe that in this day and age, 2014, so many years after Dr. Martin Luther King, the Civil Rights Movement, we're seeing National Guard troops on the street to prevent this kind of violence in this day and age. It's something I didn't think we'd be seeing.
I am worried about you.
Circumscribe resistance. You can't schedule a plan of resistance. You can't tell people where to die in, where to resist, how to resist.
Yesterday. But we have to watch our own ethics and be careful not to get more upset about the destruction of property than the destruction of black bodies. And that's...
This is Dr. Furious here in the house with DJ Hal B. Hurtin and little DJ Eddie Abbey. Of course, spotlighting the craziness of the evening and also making the most of our little Micropower radio here. WCOM LP FM, Chapel Hill Carborough, 103.5 Chapel Hill Carborough. Stick around, we got more. I'm Furious!